Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This is Sports Daily on 97.5 and 1240 KFH, Wichita's most listened to sports talk radio.
All right, welcome in, everybody, to Sports Daily. We are glad to be with you. A glitchy there, but that's all right, because we are ready to rock. We got a three-man booth today, Jacob Albrock, Tommy Caster, and Brandon Zinner with you on a Tuesday. We're going to be talking a lot of Chiefs today, as you might imagine, as the Chiefs are headed back to another Super Bowl. No surprise to Chiefs fans, but what a ride it's been to get here. We'll sort of look back at the ride and look forward a little bit to that matchup against the Eagles. It's a KU game night. So we've got that coming for you as well. Our Chiefs insider, Dan Israel, is going to join the program in the second hour. We're taking your comments and commentary on our video streams. Thanks for watching us on 12 News Connected, on Facebook, on YouTube, on X. Lots of different ways to get in touch with the program. You can do that. You can also leave us your voice messages through the Odyssey app if you're listening to us that way. Heck, you can do that even if you're listening to us in podcast form, and maybe we'll get to it the next day. Never know. We appreciate it, you, no matter how you're listening to us. And of course, those driving to work right now on KFH, thanks for being here. Tommy, how are you?
I was okay. Yeah, a little glitchy this morning, but we're good. I mean, hey, that's live radio for you. We're here. We're ready to roll. I blame Brandon. You know, it's the first time Brandon is, you know, kind of showing him how to run things, and I'm just going to blame it on him.
That's right. You come in and you just start pushing buttons.
Yeah.
You just can't help yourself. There are lots of buttons in there. Brandon, how are you?
Yeah, we are here. This is the first time doing the late night anchoring shift over at KWCH, making the turnaround to the morning drive here on Sports Daily. But hey, when you're coming off of covering a 6th AFC championship in person like I was just 2 days ago, I will not be one to complain. So yeah, ready for a fun morning.
And all you got to do is get yourself a cup of that Prairie Fire coffee, which is always available at the KFH and Odyssey Studios. They give us, I call it a vat of coffee. It is a very large container because there are a lot of people right now scurrying about the Odyssey Studios, the great facilities there, and everybody needs coffee. Everybody needs coffee. Let's get coffee in our lives. Black coffee, right? Cheers, fellas, to another good morning. Brandon, the Chiefs are still unbeaten since your dog poop video. I'm beating at home, I should say, since your dog poop video. We'll see if it can carry. And for those that don't know, what was that last year in the...
It was the Christmas Day game. Yeah, I look down at the 44-yard line. I see a golden retriever running around. And then the running stops and the squatting starts, and then you see the dog run away and you realize what just happened. Yeah, the dog of Gracie Hunt, the daughter of Clark Hunt, and ever since then, the Chiefs have not lost at home. It, for the first time in a year, they went to the regular season and the postseason unbeaten at home. So, hey, thanks, Chief.
And he was inspired at that point last season because they weren't playing very well. Yeah. And, you know, since that point, they've played very well. And what's really interesting is the team this year has faced as much adversity probably as any team that's been a part of this dynasty within the season. They've had all the injuries that they've had throughout the season, but not just that. They had really poor offensive line play. They had a pass blocking issue that would sink a lot of teams. It has sunk many a teams, good teams that can't block it up. But the Chiefs have overcome that. They're healthy now, and here they are again in another Super Bowl with the chance to make history. Tommy, you've been a lifelong Chiefs fan. You grew up in this part of the world. You sat through it all until about 7 years ago. Ever in your wildest dreams did you think that the Chiefs would be a part of something like this?
Maybe in my wildest dreams, but not in my normal regular dreams. No, this is beyond what I could have hoped for Kansas City. Things had been really, really bad for a long time. I always tell this story that I went to a game back in 2012, the year before Andy Reid came to the Chiefs, and Romeo Crennel was the interim coach, and that was the year that I believe the Chiefs went 2-14. It was the year of the Javon Belcher tragedy. Vibes were bad. Things were very, very bad in Kansas City, and I went to a game. I believe they played the Browns. And fans were wearing bags over their heads, and people were hiring planes to fly around the stadium with, fire Scott Pioli and fire Romeo Crennel. And it was really awful. It was terrible. And just to see the turnaround to now where we're talking dynasty and playing for a third Super Bowl in a row and the fourth in 6 years. It's wild and not anything that, I really would have ever thought could have been realistic.
Brandon, for us professionally, it's been a pretty wild ride too. You've been to more of these things. You've been to as many of them as anybody. I was on the earlier portion of that beat where they would just fall short until the first Super Bowl. And I was there for that one. And my travel days are over, but you've lived it right there in person for all of this. Same kind of thing, right? Just when you cover the league for long, it doesn't seem possible that teams can do this. So it's such a wacky sport. Yet here we are, and they're right back there in this place where they are every year now.
Yeah, my first real true Chiefs, the heartbreak experience that was for a long time that I witnessed as a professional from this side of it was the Marcus Mariota touchdown pass thrown to himself, Derrick Henry sewing the game away, the Chiefs lose to the Titans in the home playoff game. And in that moment, you don't know what's going to be ahead. They have Patrick Mahomes sitting over on the bench, and you're like, yeah, they're probably going to be turning to him, but it'll probably be a little bit before we can get back here and see this playoff success again. And then, all we have seen since then is nothing but AFC championships. It's not something I don't think any fan could have dreamt up. I don't think it's anything that anyone in the organization planned on happening or even would have dreamt of, going to seven consecutive AFC title games, all these Super Bowls. It's been nothing short of magical, and just such a hat tip to Andy Reid, to Patrick Mahomes, and just given Kansas City and the surrounding area something now we can rely on. Yeah, just playing for a Super Bowl every year, guys.
I mean, clearly the only people who saw this coming were Roger Goodell and Taylor Swift, right? They've been working on this.
And the refs.
They've been working on this now for a long time. To make sure she's got, apparently her next album will be really good. I'm not sure how that works, but everybody else is just sort of watching like this is crazy. It is, and it is crazy. And here's the crazier part. Why, this isn't the end of it. Win, lose, or draw in this Super Bowl. Pat Mahomes is in his prime right now. Andy Reid may coach forever. We'll continue to talk about the Chiefs. We'll look back at the season, this just wild and crazy season, too. It's three-man booth today on Sports Daily. Your comments, welcome. We'll be right back.
Dude, you gotta hear this. Hear this.
Go ahead. I think I want to hear this.
Sports Daily is on KFH.
Hey, listen to KFH Radio for your chance at the ultimate trip to Vegas in March. Winning is easy. Just download the free Odyssey app, log in, and listen to KFH Radio. Listen each day for a minimum of 1 hour for your daily entry. Includes travel and accommodations for four to Las Vegas, plus $20,000 spending cash. Get all the info for this national contest right at kfhradio.com. Welcome back, everybody. Jacob Albrock, Tommy Caster, Brandon Zinner with you on a Tuesday. Dan Israel, our Chiefs insider, executive producer of the Chiefs Radio Network, will join the show coming up in the next hour. We're talking just how wild it is that the Chiefs are a part of a dynasty like this. I know it never gets old for Chiefs fans. This season, every season is different in the NFL, and all of these Chiefs seasons have been different. Last season, it was the poor play, the losses, and then finally getting it together, reinventing themselves at a point in the season, and letting their defense lead them to a title. This year, it's been this weird thing with all the fortunate bounces at one point in the season, all the injuries, all the things they've overcome. I wonder, fellas, how many times a team, as I look here, has reached a Super Bowl when they've only won three games all year by more than one score. Isn't that crazy? They've only won three games this year by more than one score, and a lot of those are within a touchdown, like the numbers within a touchdown. They just, people can't put them away. And we'll see if they can do it one more time. Now, I will also say the difference between the Chiefs in that middle meteor part is part of the season to the end of the season, you know, with Cleveland and Houston and Pittsburgh. It's different because they started to get healthy at that point. But it's almost like that stuff they faced early in the season has now equipped them for what they've always been good at, which is never rolling over, always being in a game right into the very end. It's just now this team this year has so much experience, Tommy, in finishing that job. We saw in the Buffalo game all the crazy statistics you heard yesterday that somebody dug up of the 240 or whatever quarterbacks it is over their careers that have played at least, you know, have been trailing in the fourth quarter at least 50 times or something. Mahomes is the only one with a winning record. Trailing in the fourth quarter as a professional, going into the fourth quarter trailing as a professional, Mahomes wins more often than he loses. Let that sink
in. Yeah. It's a double-edged sword. I just mentioned to Brandon during the break that, you know, at the same time, while they're always in the game, and even in the fourth quarter trailing, on the flip side, they have a hard time putting teams away themselves. You know, so you have to kind of take the good with the bad. It's great that Patrick Mahomes can play this like Superman come from behind end of game savior to win games for the Chiefs. That's amazing. And then that's what he's become known for. And we love that. And you'd rather have that than the alternative. At the same time, though, man, there are so many times, including the AFC Championship game on Sunday, that they had an opportunity to put their foot on the neck of the opponent, in this case, Buffalo, and they weren't able to do it. Like, they were up 21-10 late in the first half with an opportunity to extend the lead and really put the game away. And so it is a double-edged sword. You hate to, like, be in that position constantly where you're playing from behind and you have to do this, like, Houdini act of bringing a team back into it. But at the same time, like, it just makes it... it makes it cinema. Like, it makes it just legendary. And that's what they've become known for. It's kind of their calling card. And they showed that again on Sunday.
But Brandon, it's not even, I mean, Mahomes is obviously the leader of that and gets all the credit. But if you think about the different ways in which this year, especially those comebacks, those late finishes have gone the Chiefs' way, there's been a lot of special teams involved in that. There's been a lot of defense involved in that. It's almost like this Mahomes thing trickles down. And that I think that is their strength. No matter what happens in 2 weeks on February 9th, that game's not going to be over one way or the other until we come down to the ending.
Yeah.
And when you know, essentially, you know a game's coming down to the ending, that's where the Chiefs get a huge advantage in every single game that they play.
Yeah, because no one has been more successful over a course of a career in the final minute, 2 minutes than Patrick Mahomes. I mean, just the way that if they need a touchdown, they get a touchdown. If they need a field goal, they need to stop. This team just finds a way to get it done. It's pretty remarkable, especially because you talked about the special teams. I mean, we've seen games ended on blocked field goals. We've seen, I mean, the punt return when they need it. Nico Remigio, what a revelation he's been for this team. The defense, we haven't seen many times, it feels like, this year where, yeah, you need to sew the clock away. You just need a first down. This game's over. It's been the defense that's been the one coming up with a big stop in a one score game, and the Chiefs get the ball back and they just kneel on it. The season has looked completely different than I think anything we thought ahead of the year, just from a roster construction to how they're playing. I mean, and who knows now what we're going to see in 2 weeks.
Well, not even the roster construction, but who would have thought you'd have Kareem Hunt and DeAndre Hopkins, and you know, like that's the crazy thing. Like, it's the adversity let them add to the roster and get to this point where they're probably better. Even, you know, like if we had to, you'd like to have Rashee Rice, of course, but if I told you, yeah, you might not have Rashee Rice, but you have DeAndre Hopkins and, you know, Kareem Hunt adds to the, like, I think you'd take that trade now, but not during the season. They've been able to patch together the left tackle position. Of course, the Eagles challenge, and we'll get into the Eagles and all those things as we go, their challenge is going to be the interior offensive line. I can tell you, that's what you want if you're the Chiefs, because that's where your strength is on the interior of your offensive line. You'll take that challenge, I think, over a speed rusher on the edge. But Tommy, it's like within this season, we laughed at this season all the time, right? All the time, the way these games were ending. Blocked field goals, missed field goals, whatever it was, we just sort of laughed at it. At any point during the season, and I just can't remember, at any point during the season, was there a moment where you're like, yeah, the Chiefs aren't gonna do it this year. This isn't the year. They're not going to be able to overcome these challenges.
Sure, 100%. I mean, I think that when you're looking at the way that they were kind of piecemealing the roster together and figuring out ways to get things together. Yeah, they were winning, but I think it was honestly less about the Chiefs themselves and more about what everybody else was doing. Like, you saw Buffalo not fall off at all when I thought that they were going to fall off offensively when they rebuilt the wide receiver room and all of that. You looked at what Baltimore was doing with Derrick Henry and just like how he seemed to be the missing link in what Baltimore needed to get over the hump. Then you go over to the NFC and you look at teams like the Lions that were thumping people, and the Vikings were winning games, and I don't think a lot of people thought that they were going to do that this season. Like, of course, the Eagles. Like, there were all of these other teams that looked more complete. I think that's what it was. They looked more complete. They were handling their business in more of a complete way than the way Kansas City was able to do it. And sure, the Chiefs were winning games in the regular season, but man, not by much. And it was like kind of fluky, and it was by the skin of their teeth. And then you would get done with the game and you'd be like, how in the hell did that happen? How in the hell did they win that game? And they did. And you just thought, eventually the luck is going to run out. Eventually it's going to catch up to them. You and I, Jacob, had that conversation quite a few times, especially about the left tackle play. Like, eventually this is going to catch up to them, and Mahomes is going to get himself hurt, that they're going to leave him out to dry, and it's going to be bad. And that never happened. And everybody kept waiting for the other shoe to drop.
He did get hurt.
Yeah,
he did get hurt.
I mean, they still won.
Like, at the end of the day, like the other shoe never dropped. And here they are back in the Super Bowl, and everybody just kept thinking, like, man, you know, the clock is going to run out, and it never did.
It's so strange, because I don't think I ever said, yeah, now I don't think they're going to win the Super Bowl, but that always feels like such a cop-out in what it is that we do, because it was the same thing for me last year. Like, yeah, this is really annoying and everything else, But I still think this team's going to win the Super Bowl because, you know, they've got Mahomes and they've got this defense now. They've got that always feels like such a cop out, but it's true. Like, you don't even have to, like, there's not this X's and O's thing. It really is. And now it's, you know, they're led by their defense. I really do believe that now. But it's whatever it is. It's that they get there and they're going to have Mahomes late in these games. You going to bet against that? Because that's it's as simple as that. It really is very similar to what we saw out of Brady. It blows my mind how whatever that thing is that we'd never seen before, right? We never saw it. No quarterback was ever able to own the end of games like Brady was. And it's the biggest reason I think that they always won. Like, they always came back. They were always in it late. And he always killed you the last time he had the ball. I mean, it's not that long ago, but we forget, what was the MO? Don't give the Patriots the ball late. Don't give Tom Brady the last possession. Don't let him come down and beat you. And then we get Mahomes, and it is the exact same thing. How do you go, like, a history, at least in what I can recall, how do you go a history in this sport of never having anything like that? And then you just, now we're going on 30 years, basically, of not having it, of not having somebody in there looming over the rest of the league that way. It's wild to think about, but here we are. And now they're going for their history, 3 in a row. And I got to tell you, like, as we, you know, we'll break this game down, and it's more complicated than we're making it in this conversation. But isn't that the simplest reason? Like, that you're optimistic if you're a Chiefs fan? Yeah. I mean, I pulled the numbers yesterday when Brandon and I are sitting around the office, and just a small caveat, like, the week 18 game plays into these numbers. But the Chiefs have, I don't know, like, the 15th best offense by yards, maybe the 17th, I think it was, by points. Defense was a little better, but not great. And then you look over at the Eagles, like, second best offense and best defense in football. And you're like, oh, man, yikes. They've got the guy who probably ought to win the MVP, but won't, in Saquon Barkley. They've got as skilled a wide receiver room, a group of pass catchers at the top end, as any team in football. They've got a quarterback who can beat you in two different ways. They got a really good offensive line that's banged up, which is an X factor in that game, by the way. And they have the league's best defense this year. And that's like, yeah, the Chiefs are going to win. Chiefs are favored. It's crazy.
And doesn't that also, I mean, relate back to the Brady years too, when you look at the other teams that were around? Like, there were juggernaut teams in the NFL that it just seemed like Brady and the Patriots just beat. And there were some exceptions to it, for sure. But
well, there have, like, been exceptions to the Chiefs, right, too. The Bengals beat them. And then,
but know, think about the easiest one to think about is the Peyton Manning, you know, Colts team of, you know, when they had Marvin Harrison and Reggie Wayne. And, like, they were stacked, you know, in that regard with Peyton Manning. And you know, there's a reason why Aaron Rodgers and the Packers, you know, only had one title when he was there, you know, because they ran up against Brady and the Patriots a lot. Like, there were all of these other teams. It reminds me, and Jacob, you and I talked about the comparisons with Mahomes and Michael Jordan yesterday. Like, it reminds me of the NBA teams of the 90s that the Bulls went up against, and it just seemed like Jordan was just, like, kind of knocking them down. And these guys weren't able to actually, like, legitimately contend until Jordan stepped away for a couple of years. The Olajuwon Rockets, and, you know, then you look at Karl Malone and John Stockton with the Jazz and the Knicks and the Pacers. Like, there were all of these other teams that, like, they had a tremendous amount of talent. They were built to beat the Bulls, and Michael Jordan just refused to let that happen. And that's what we see a lot of now with the Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes.
It's fun to watch, or maybe it's not fun to watch if you don't like the Chiefs, but it's compelling either way, Brandon. And it will be, I don't know. You know, I talked about all those numbers there. Are the Chiefs really, like, talent wise, the less talented team? That's the other part of those numbers. That is the caveat, is those all factor in all the injuries and different things the Chiefs have overcome. They're not that anymore. Like, this is a totally different team than the team we saw a block of, in an extra point or field goal, whatever it was, against the Broncos to win that game. They're deeper at wide receiver. Xavier Worthy is now an X factor. He was not at that point in a lot of the season. He came on late, as rookies do. You've got a running back room that is insanely deep. You can run either one of those guys, and you'll be fine doing what you want to do there. Like, all of this is different probably than most of the season we saw, except that X factor. That doesn't change, right? That doesn't change that they're good at late game situations. They're just now better, I think, in the early game than they were for a lot of this season.
Yeah, we went into the season thinking, oh, they have their number one wide receiver, and it's Hollywood Brown, and then we didn't even see Hollywood Brown until late this season. Xavier Worthy is clearly the number one receiver on this team. We also went into the year thinking that the left tackle solution is here. It's a young guy, Kingsley Suamataia. They also have Wanya Morris in the fold. Neither of those worked out. They still have their left tackle solution in Joe Tooney. Patrick Mahomes is what he is. Noah Gray was the better tight end for a lot of the year as well. The season played out in a way that we thought, but it's just in the complete 180 of really what it was. We got what we expected from the defense. The secondary had to do its reshuffling with all the injuries, but Trent McDuffie is still one of the most underrated players in the entire league. And now you talked about the Patriots run, where it was basically the Patriots and then the Colts and the Steelers were kind of the two teams that were always there that could always battling with the Patriots, it seemed like. And now we have the Bills, the Ravens, the Bengals want to be that, but until they can prove it more than twice, I still think they're kind of on that outside looking in. But, I mean, yeah, this Chiefs season, the scary thing, like you talked about in the open, I mean, Patrick Mahomes is only, what, 29 years old? I mean, barring health and this team completely learning or forgetting how to manage a roster, I mean, I'm sorry, Bills and Bengals and Ravens fans.
Can we pour one out for Josh Allen? I know we talked about this just a little bit yesterday, but man, that sucks. It's not just he is like the embodiment of Bills fans too.
That deep breath at the start of the press conference. Oh, that will, you could be the biggest Bills hater, and that will pull your heart.
He looks like a Bills fan. He kind of feels like a Bills fan. Like, he represents that organization so well, and good Lord, have they earned one, and they just can't get it done no matter what he does. I mean, he had plenty of Superman plays in that game and just couldn't get it done.
He also, by the way, was agonizing. Extremely fortunate that he didn't turn the ball over probably four times in that game. Like, there, especially to start the game. So yeah, the adrenaline had to have been running, because those passes, he sailed them. He put the ball on the turf a couple times. Like, he was fortunate that there were not turnovers, you know.
But he lucked it. There was good fortune on both sides. I mean, the Chiefs got the good fortune of that fourth down call. They got the good fortune of the Xavier Worthy play. Like, there was good fortune. But that's, I think every team goes through that in each game that they play, especially the big ones. And that's a part of what makes the Chiefs really, really good, is they just, like, as those things happen in a game and you get those crazy highs or lows, like the fumble to Pacheco, like, they just level out so well now. And that's new to this year. That's a this year thing. Like, that's probably their super, like, they just never will vary from what it is they feel like they need to do in a game. Like, nothing shakes them at all. It's wild.
Isn't that a testament to Andy Reid? Like, isn't that Andy Reid's personality? Like, you never see Andy Reid get too high. You never really see him get too low.
I think the whole staff.
I think it takes a combination of everybody. We got all kinds of stuff to talk about with this. Let's talk about the other side of it then, the Eagles' path to get here, because it's been pretty wild too after what they went through last year. We're continuing the conversation. It's Sports Daily. It's Albrock. It's Castor and Zinner. Don't go away.
It's time to get back to the sports talk.
All right, let's do this thing. Go!
Sports Daily is on KFH.
All right, welcome back in, everybody, to Sports Daily. Glad to be with you here on Tuesday. If you want to win some HTO, you can do that right now. Just text the keyword T to the short code 20357. That'll get you a free iced tea, a free Free rain, iced or hot coffee. You can enter once per day. Message and data rates apply. They're good for either Wichita location or in Derby. Good luck, everybody, on that. Rick comments, and it's a good comment as we begin to talk about the Philadelphia Eagles. He says the interior is not as strong of that line with Tooney having to move to left tackle. It's a good point because the Eagles' strength is their interior defensive line. And yes, Tooney moving over does impact that. I wouldn't put it past the Chiefs to tinker and think about Humphreys over there within the game. Not sure that they would, but it's an option. If the Chiefs had trouble within the game, they could make that move. I would, at least if I was the Chiefs, prepare for it. Get Humphreys some snaps over there in case you did need to move Tooney over. But the one thing it neutralizes that I think is the great weapon for Mahomes in this point of the season is stepping up in the pocket to take off and run. That's what will be harder for the Chiefs to do. It makes third down more difficult when you don't think of Mahomes' ability to do that, because that's always where he's been at his strength. He can try to roll out and run that way, but let's be real. Like that, you know, that would have to be a situational thing but his ability to run up through the middle of the pocket's always been that strength here, Tommy. And yeah, the Eagles in theory could take that away without having to put a linebacker on him because they're so good in the interior defensive line.
Yeah, I'm not sure that, you know, knowing what they've been able to do the last few weeks with Tooney at left tackle, that you try to make a change, you know, for the Super Bowl. I mean, I get the reasons why you might want to look at that just because of how good the Eagles are in the interior. But at the same time, like, what Tooney has given you on the left side has been enough to get it done. And I just think of the alternative. I think of, like, man, you throw Humphreys out there in the biggest spot when you've barely seen him throughout the course of the year and he's been injured and whatever. You know, it's not going to go well with Wanya Morris. It's not going to go well with Sua Mataia. And who knows if either one of those guys will even be active on the roster for the Super Bowl. So I think, like, I get the reason why you would want to try to combat what the Eagles like to do up the middle and bring Tooney more towards the middle of the offensive line. I'm just not sure you want to mess with what's been at least the most viable lineup on the offensive line throughout the playoffs.
Don't misunderstand. I don't mean do that going into the game. I'm talking about if you get 2-3 drives into the game and Mahomes is under siege from the middle, like the Jordan Phillips play. Remember the Jordan Phillips play where he just like picked up Caliendo and basically threw him at Mahomes. Like, if that sort of thing is happening through the first handful of drives and the Chiefs, that's what I'm talking about. Like, at least have Humphreys prepared if you had to make the change because of how good they are. I don't mean start the game that way. Hell no, don't do that. But you might need to get there at some point. So maybe just prepare for it if you had to, would be the only thing. Brandon, can this interior line hold up without Tooney there to that Eagles interior pass rush?
Can they? Absolutely. I mean, we have seen it throughout the entire season. The problem has never been the interior offensive line, and they've gone against some great pass rushes and some great interior play. Just in the playoffs alone, especially, I mean, just last week, very few issues, I would say, against the Bills. But I mean, where the issue comes for the Eagles of just the interior is how this offense is designed. I mean, how many times did we see three guys in the backfield for the Chiefs? I mean, it seemed like they did it on probably four different occasions, and like, oh, they might run the ball, and I think they threw it three times out of that. I mean, the way that the Chiefs offense is set up doesn't allow for, yeah, you just have an interior pass rush and you're just going to just go get off of the quarterback, because when you do, there's going to be holes that open up, and that's when the Chiefs offense is at their best, when they have you off balance on defense. Yeah, it's going to be fascinating to kind of dive into it more over the next week and a half, because I know a good amount about this Eagles defense. I mean, Jalen Carter, Jordan Davis, Zach Bond, all these guys, but I haven't sit there and really looked into them a whole lot. Other than just casually watching the games. But, yeah, I'm excited and fascinated because it's what everybody, all the big heads are talking about with this Eagles team.
Yeah, I mean, the one-step drop that the Chiefs have now is a big part of their passing game because of Worthy and Brown and DeAndre Hopkins, if they choose to go that way, and the back. So I agree with that. And I think they'll probably be okay. I do think, though, it limits Mahomes' ability to run to some degree. Like, I think you know, it, that may still happen very late in the game, but I think it'll be harder to get to that as it normally would be for Mahomes. The Eagles' run to this point is pretty intense. It's not if you look at it on paper, right? Like, this team was just in the Super Bowl a couple of years ago. They got to, what, an 11-0 start last year, and now they're back to the Super Bowl. Oh, surprise, right? But when you really think about all of it, like Nick Sirianni constantly being called one of the worst coaches in football, which I just don't buy it. The fact that Jalen Hurts has not had a great year, right? Like, not really, but he hadn't needed to because they have Saquon Barkley now. But then you see a game like we saw against the Commanders, and you're like, oh yeah, Jalen Hurts is still really good. Is he, you know, is he one of the best quarterbacks in this league or whatever you want to define? No, I don't think he is. Never have thought he was. But I think the Eagles have always done a really good job of highlighting his strengths. And now they can attack, sort of like the Chiefs, right? Like, what do you, if you walk into that room, and I know you can say you would like to, you know, hone in on Saquon Barkley, but the Commanders thought that same thing, and they got beat up by those wide receivers in Dallas Goedert a little bit. So the Eagles have that going for them, right? Like, you can't just walk in and say, all right, we're going to take this away. And then that, I don't know that that's the right strategy, because they'll beat you a different way if you do that. I mean, I would prefer Jalen Hurts beat me than Saquon Barkley beat me if I'm the Chiefs. I think you start there, but he still can, right? Like, he's still Jalen Hurts, still has A.J. Brown, he still has Devontae Smith, Dallas Goedert looks great. It's not like...
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything. Now with Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Wow, what's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
It's, I don't know, Nick Foles is a bad example, but I, you know what I mean, though? It's not some scrub back there. It's still Jalen Hurts.
Yeah.
And he does look, he looked healthy in that game now with 2 weeks. So this will be the coaching in this game will be just wildly fascinating. And what, like, Vic Fangio and Steve Spagnuolo decide to do defensively, how many risks do they take? Because these are two offenses that can kill you if you take them in the wrong spot. This Eagles turnaround, I mean, guys, their defense was garbage last year. One of the worst in football.
Yeah, and you look, one of the things, like, with Vic Fangio that, you know, I think you need to, like, pay attention to leading into this game is that Fangio knows all about getting burnt against the Chiefs. I mean, he got burnt against the Chiefs multiple times when he was the Broncos head coach. You know, and then I know he was in Miami a year ago and got beat by the Chiefs then too. And so he's really familiar with all of that. But he's a really, really solid defensive coordinator. And so he'll have his guys ready to go. They've been ready to go all year. The one thing that I will say, going back to your point about Nick Sirianni, is that I am on record as a known and vocal Nick Sirianni hater. I don't like him. I don't think he's a great coach in general, but where I will give him a little bit of credit is that I know their defense was really bad a year ago, and I credit a lot of that to Vic Fangio this year getting them better. I feel like a lot of where the Eagles struggled a year ago was due directly to Nick Sirianni. I think that the way that his personality showed up distracted the team. I think a lot of things fell apart. They weren't able to overcome it. And the way that, you know, Sirianni is brash and just all these different things, I think was a detriment last season to the Eagles. Where I will give him credit is that I feel like, not that he's still who he is, but I don't feel like he's been quite as obnoxious, I guess, like nationally, like vocally this season. And I think that he's let the play on the field do the talking with the guys that he has, as opposed to him doing the talking on the sidelines, to the fans, in press conferences, things like that. And so I'd like to think that maybe Sirianni has matured a tick and has realized he doesn't need to be the one picking fights with fans in the stadiums. He's going to let the play on the field with the really talented players he has actually do the talking.
It's crazy, though, because, he looks like they went and they found a fan, a Philadelphia Eagles fan, and let them be the coach. That's what he looks like.
Yeah.
That's what he acts like. That's his personality. And, you know, early on in it, it was a big part of what he did. I look at all of it for him and it, like, the totality of his body of work. There can't have ever been a coach 4 years in that wins 70% of his games and has been to the playoffs every year and now gone to two Super Bowls that has more heat than Nick Sirianni. Jalen Hurts was not great his rookie year before Sirianni got there. And Jalen Hurts has been better. They've been to two Super Bowls in 3 years. And he's won 70% of his games. Yet he takes all this heat. And I'm like, guys, like, you don't accidentally do that in the NFL. Like, he doesn't have Mahomes. He doesn't have some gift horse leading him to all this success. He's made the best. Jalen Hurts has become a really big player with him. But I think he gets way too much heat. I don't understand it based on what he's done as an NFL head coach. He's never finished. He's won the division twice. He's won 14 games two different times. The other years he's been a wild card team. It's just wild to me that, like, it's perceived that he doesn't know what he's doing. He's had a great roster put around him, but I don't think he's always had this kind of roster, and he still made the playoffs. Why do you think, Brandon? Is it simply that, as a lot of people have said, and I think it's funny, like, one of the most punchable faces in football? Like, is that it for him? Like, is it just that he just rubs people the wrong way?
Well, he absolutely does. And yeah, his antics in Arrowhead a couple years ago surely did not help. I mean, yeah, just the way that they collapsed the end of last season. They were one of the favorites, I think, mm-hmm. for a lot of people to win the Super Bowl, probably after week 11, 12. And then I think they end the year losing six straight games, yeah. whatever.
That's why he has been on the hot seat. That's why he's been under fire.
And then to start this year, I mean, they beat the Packers. But then Monday night at home against Kirk Cousins and the Falcons, they don't get it done. And people are saying, yeah, week two, yep, Sirianni's done. Get him out of here. And then they throw up a dud. I remember watching the Eagles at the Bucs in week four, and they lost by, I think it was, three scores. And then it's like, yep, Sirianni might not make it through this week. And that also just comes with the territory of Philadelphia. There's certain jobs where, if you lose the Super Bowl, you might be getting fired. At least fans want it in Dallas.
They ran Doug Peterson out of town, and he won a Super Bowl.
Exactly, in Philadelphia.
And I guess
Jets.
They ran Andy Reid out of town. Yeah. But that's internally getting it. Like, this is like a collective, not just Eagles fans that have been on Sirianni. It's like everybody's on Sirianni. Right, like, everybody's
he did a
like,
lot. He's done. The thing is, like,
they're winning despite him.
You can't
give him
You can't give him a pass because he's made some really poor decisions. Whether we're talking in game or like, he brought his kid to a press conference, and the thought was, like, the speculation was he was trying to deflect attention from the reporters because he thought the reporters wouldn't ask the hard questions because his kid was sitting on his lap.
That poor kid.
Yeah, maybe. I'm not trying to defend him because I don't.
Sure, you
I don't,
are.
No. I'm defending his record. Well, you think I like Nick Sirianni? You think I like anything to do with the Eagles? You're insane. I do not. I just, like, he's been to 2 Super Bowls in 3 years. He can coach. He can coach. We'll come back. We'll continue the conversation. Dan Israel joins us in the next hour. Don't go away. More Sports Daily after this.